May be seated. Well, in the sermon series we've been going through over the past 5 weeks or so now, with that theme, loved and sent, it kind of grows out of a couple questions I think all people have. And it's a universal thing. They're questions about identity and purpose. You know, who am I? And why am I here? But then we kind of look at it too, you know, with the question, you know, what is my calling in life? Maybe we've had that thought go through our minds. What's my calling? Or what's my purpose? Or maybe you're at this point and say, well, all right, what should I be doing next with my life? And those questions about calling and purpose and what I should do next, you know, a high school student could be asking themselves that maybe when they're in their junior year of high school. A college graduate, maybe they've just graduated, maybe those questions are starting to go through their minds. The exact same questions could be asked by someone, maybe they're in their mid-40s, and they're just kind of thinking about where they're at in their life and their career. Same exact questions could be asked to someone maybe who's in retirement, and just saying, you know, I'm not doing what I used to do, and, you know, kind of like, I just feel like I'm useless. What am I supposed to be doing right now with my life? It doesn't matter. It just floats through those questions that we have. You know, that question, you know, what's my calling? So if I say you are sent, the word sent carries with it a sense of calling. It implies there's kind of maybe a place or people who need you. Your time, your presence, and skills are necessary. And so you're sent to make use of them. So again, I think there's just a lot of people out there today, you know, just lack this compelling purpose, you know, just why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? Some people have labeled it maybe an age of discontent. Is this it? I mean, it's amazing when you look at the statistics that came out over the last 2 or 3 years of how many people kind of quit doing what they were doing or walked away from a job or kind of relooking at things, and they've called it the Great Resignation. A huge percentage of people across the board from, you know, late teens all the way up into retirement age practically, people just kind of reshifting around, the Great Resignation. What should I be doing with myself? I'm not sure. And sometimes when that's vocalized, sometimes maybe the response will come back from someone else. It maybe is, well, just do what you want to do. Or do what makes you happy. And there's nothing wrong with that idea either. Just maybe you're at a point in time, just do what maybe you really want to do. A lot of people may go off and do that then and maybe still feel some kind of unfulfilled desires. Something just doesn't still feel right or click. There's a difference between what you want to do and maybe what you're called to do. There's certain things we want to do, but maybe that's not what we're called to do. So I want to introduce a word to you this morning, and we've all heard it before. It's the word vocation. Because the word vocation gives the Christian a true purpose for life. It comes from the Latin vocatio, which means to call. To call. And it's more about than just your job or, you know, what you do for a living. Because I think that's where we kind of get stuck sometimes. We say, well, what's your vocation? And immediately the only thing we can think of maybe is, oh, it's my job, my career, the thing that I do. But it includes all of, in a sense, the God-given responsibilities that are placed upon you. Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 2, verse 10, he says, For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. If you go all the way back to the very beginning, just open your Bible to the very first pages there in Genesis, this is what we find out. In the beginning, God created all living things with the ability to share or reflect his love. Bottom line, whenever we hear the word love, I think immediately we always just want to go to kind of a feelings type of word as opposed to an action type of word. But then when you look in Scripture, all right, how is love described or defined? Well, we find out that love gives, it shares, it protects, it provides, it cares for. If you think about it, just do a mind game sometime with yourself. Think of anything that's alive or living and say, all right, what does that do? And in almost every incident, I don't care if it's a cricket or a palm tree, a bass in a lake, or your sister, everything is created in some form or fashion by what it does to provide, protect, share, give, whatever. All of those things are expressions or reflections of love. It's how we were originally created. So as people created in the image of God, we've been created to be the means through which God cares, reflects, or shares his love to our neighbors through our various vocations or callings in life. It's beautiful the way it works. You can break that up, and we'll just do this briefly, into four basic realms that every Christian lives in. All right, there are spheres which are common to everyone. Every one of us here this morning has these four spheres that they're a part of in life. The realm of the home, occupation, things that we do in life, society, and then as Christians, our congregation or our church. So let's briefly go through that, our home. In that particular realm in which you live or occupy, you know, you are called, maybe it's to be a brother or sister, a father or mother, a son or daughter, husband or wife. But within each of those, you have a kind of a unique niche. There are many husbands in the world, but I am the husband to Amy. There's many fathers in the world, but I am the father to Jonathan and Daniel. There's a lot of brothers and sisters in the world, but I am the brother to Nancy, my sister. And it's in my unique role or place that God wants to work through me. Occupation, the realm of work. Maybe we all, let's say every one of us had a job and we all go off to work each day, but you're all going to different kinds of work, right? So maybe a teacher goes to work, but they're there to impart knowledge. An IT specialist goes into an environment or a work system that makes the company run efficiently. But we have unique skill sets and capacities and abilities that work in that particular realm or job. You know, a job may provide an income, but it also gives a sense of fulfillment and satisfaction. Your occupation isn't just about you, because it functions for others. And what we do in life may be in some form or another, it's good for the planet, the society, our friends, our community, our neighbors, or whatever. God says, I want to make sure that you are protected in life, that you're provided for, that you're cared for. You know? So how are you protected, provided, and cared for in life? When you say, you know, give us this day our daily bread, for example. Well, God puts people in the places in our society that maybe by their very nature, they provide protection or care or provision. God works through people in that way. In society, it's kind of the world around us. Regardless of where you live, you have a next door neighbor, per se. You're a neighbor, you're a voter, you're a taxpayer, you're a customer, you're a client, you're a volunteer. So whatever we do in that realm out there in the world is there for the benefit of other people, right? And collectively, we want our community, our nation, our town, our city to thrive and work well, come together. And then in our congregation, We look around. We're here today with fellow worshipers. Maybe you're a council member. Maybe you're a singer. Maybe you're a teacher. You're an encourager. Whenever, you know, together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, we're there to be a part of our local congregation. You share your gifts, I share my gifts, and it helps other people to be able to grow in their faith and to be built up. So whether it's in that home realm, the occupation realm, or society, or the congregation, all of those are places we find ourselves in life with a call on us. We may have similar ones, but they're still different. But the one thing is true, they all have, in a sense, certain characteristics that are true. They're God-given. A calling is like a name. It's given to you. And like the words, we talked about this, like the words loved and sent, the word called is passive. If you are called, it means someone else is behind that action and taking the initiative. They're calling you to something. And ultimately, all callings are from God. And the biblical understanding of vocation insists that, you know, God's working behind it and through it. We're agents of God's, you know, will and work in this world. And we are there through which God can love and care and provide and protect and serve and share with other people, the people around us. It's a God-given thing. And it's for others. The callings we have are for the purpose of other people, impacting other people. In love, we serve one another. And so even things in life, you know, every one of us, I can say, all right, give me a list of the mundane things you do in life. Every one of us has the mundane things that we do in life. But even those things can take on a different significance if seen in the right way. We look at work. All right, I have a job. You say, all right, the purpose of my job is so I can make some money. And then when we get locked into that mindset, that can cause problems. But everything, in a sense, is to be focused on others. It's about people. It's for other people. God gives you callings not so that, or to make all of your dreams come true. If you want all of your dreams to come true, then what you do is you go over and drive over to Disneyland. It's Disney's purpose to make all of your dreams come true. But God has a different plan, and it's not necessarily to make you be happy, but rather to, through you, bless other people. He wants to bless people. If you've been given wealth, he says, well, share it. If you have certain insights into certain things, share it. If you've been called to a particular place of influence, use that influence in a positive way. But everything is given with the idea of being able to bless our neighbors, whoever that may be. Is for others and significance. I think people love this idea, thought came from Luther. Martin Luther once called diaper changing a holy work. And anyone here who's ever changed a diaper probably said, this is not holy work. But he says, yes, it is, and for this reason. It's an act of love. It's an act of love and care because it needs to be done. Because it's an act of love of what you're doing to serve that child, that baby. His point was that callings, even the most mundane, are acts of significance because of how other people may be blessed through that. Not always about happiness, but it is about significance. Doing something that matters. I think, again, we're wired these days, well, what can I do in life that can get me the most likes on social media? And God says, you know, again, let's look at this. What if the actions are a diaper changed, or a hug given, or a hopeful word that's offered, or time listening to someone else, or giving someone a ride to a doctor's appointment. Mundane? All right, if you want to use that word, but think of what it means to that other person. The recipient of the changed diaper, the person who had someone listen to them, the someone who was able to get to that doctor's appointment, the blessing that was. Even the things that we label mundane have very special significance in the eyes of God. And so the love we show, the patience we muster, the attention we give, again, it's Christ living in us and through us. So how do you know where you're sent? You know, we've been talking about loved and sent. Well, how do you know where you're sent? Know what your calling is. And actually, it's kind of simple. We always want to make things grand. If I only can do this. Well, let's look at where we're at. Starts there. Begin where you're at. Where are you, in a sense? And just in your mind, think, all right, who's around me right now in my life? Who do I live with? Who do I live around? And what are you already doing? And in a sense, in that realm, who's depending on you? All right, so that's where you're at. And know yourself. I think we begin to understand these are some of the strengths I have in life, some things I like to do or good at, interests, abilities. Maybe other people have validated certain things in you. Just knowing what you can do. And there's certain things that all of you can do in a special way. You know, I know where I live and the people around me. I look at my talents. You know, I'm one of the few people that actually kind of likes grocery shopping. I'm okay with that. I like to cook, all right? And so in my realm, it's very natural for me to say, hey, I don't mind shopping for some people that need it, or I don't mind cooking and sharing some food with some people. And that's my realm. And I enjoy it, and I know it benefits other people. And what it could be different for anyone else. And know your world, the context, because I think in our own little world, we understand there's certain needs that come up that we see that we're aware of, what needs to get done. And is there something that I have, I possess, I know, I have talent with, that I could do something to help that need? And know what you can bring. Because when you know yourself and your world, you kind of identify some needs, whether they're in your very immediate, maybe it's in your family or in your neighborhood, in your community, at work or whatever, and you have a certain skill you can bring, a voice you can share, bring, a perspective to impart, just bring it. And pray. Prayer is a priority. Because prayer kind of keeps us from thinking that our, in a sense, our calling is all about us. God's the one to put a call on us to do things. And so we say, all right, here are my skills, here are my talents, here are my time, whatever it is. God, just kind of use it. And trust. So what am I supposed to do? Well, how about just choose something? You know, stop, just do something. Think about it, just do something. It's not complicated. And we want to make it complicated. Just put your mind back into the Garden of Eden, all right? We all kind of know the basics, all right? God created Adam, then he created Eve, and there they were, by themselves in this garden. God didn't say, all right, now Adam, now Eve, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about something that you can do that's more meaningful with yourself. Where you could maybe go, some other thing you come up with doing, or whatever. And then you'll maybe find some value and worth in your life. The way I kind of read that is like God was so excited to see what he had just created that was very good. And if Adam just was what he was supposed to be as a husband to his wife and she to him, and look at around them, and they tended the fields around them and did stuff like that, God's got a big, in a sense, smile on his face, saying, hey, you're doing what I created you to do. He didn't say, go over there and figure it out what you need to do to find some worth in your life, or don't try, maybe do, you know, see some of that and say, well, you know, I'm not so much satisfied here, let me go over and try to do that, and maybe I'll find some meaning in what I'm supposed to do with myself. Just do what you were created to do. We make it so complicated thinking that we always have to run around trying to figure out who I am and what I'm supposed to do, when maybe right in front of you is what you're supposed to do. Just go home. Go home. Go to work. Go to school. Mow your lawn. Whatever it is, just do it, because if you're doing, in a sense, what you were created naturally to be able to do, isn't that what the calling is? Because God's working through that, because whatever you do in that way, if it's done in a sense with the idea, hey, God has called me to be here and to do these things, God blesses it. And other people are blessed because of that. Now, sometimes special callings do come on people's lives for a particular work, a particular thing, in a special place. But if we just say, all right, God, thank you for who you've made me to be. And through whoever I am right now, wherever I'm at right now, just let me be a vessel through which, in a sense, I can love my neighbor through what you've given me. It's very liberating and very freeing. Jesus listened to and accepted the call on his life. And the call on his life was just to come alongside of us. But it was a high calling, because it meant dying for us in our place. He was that substitute, and by his death on the cross was able to win for us the forgiveness of sins and the gift of salvation, eternal life. And he offers it to us as a free gift. And now he looks at us and says, hey, work still needs to happen. How about you come alongside of me and let's continue loving people and listening to people and providing for people and caring for people. And along the way, let them know how much I love them. That's it. That's the life of a follower of Jesus Christ. Just do life. But at the same time, allow God to love people through you and let people know along the way what he's done for them. It's a beautiful thing, that calling on us. We're going to kind of continue on with this next week and what it really means to, again, take this a little bit further and to go into our world and what that looks like. But God put a call on us, and it's exciting to be about what he's doing, just where we are with what he has given us. So now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.